Oh, boy. So now it comes out from WISN-TV in Milwaukee, Channel 12. Ron Johnson was asked about these sensitive national security documents that Trump, or maybe it wasn't Trump because he doesn't really know what's in the boxes, but, you know, somebody put them in there. They were in Mar-a-Lago. Senator Ron Johnson got asked by Channel 12 about, you know, whether he is concerned with the sensitive information that was found at Mar-a-Lago. Please bear in mind that Senator Ron Johnson is the now former chair of the Homeland Security Committee for the United States Senate. So if anybody should have concerns, it would be the former chair of the U.S. Senate's Homeland Security Committee. Johnson said, "I'm not overly concerned about some top secret information being leaked out," adding that while he is always concerned about classified documents, he thinks that the documents are in the possession of that are in the possession of Donald Trump are in a secure location guarded by the Secret Service, that Mar-a-Lago he considers to be a pretty safe place. A pretty safe place. Well, that's what you want with your top secret documents that sometimes can only be looked at in bunkers that are fortified and guarded by people with big weapons. Sure, a couple of Secret Service agents, because Trump has never, you know, abused his Secret Service detail and, you know, sent them someplace where they're not supposed to be. But for Ron Johnson, Mar-a-Lago is a pretty safe place. So I guess that's good enough. This news about Donald Trump and the mishandling of classified documents and the search warrant being executed, yeah, it was a big story. But again, in our continuing reminder to the national news media that you can walk and chew gum at the same time, we need to be reminded that it was also a big week in Congress for Democrats who got the Inflation Reduction Act passed. It was something that, you know, started as the Build Back Better package. It has taken a long time for a portion of that to come through Congress, but it did. And as we've outlined previously, it is landmark legislation in so many ways. It will have such a direct positive impact on American taxpayers, American workers, American healthcare consumers, and on the planet, and on our, you know, our tax system, and more. It was a big deal. And yet, Andrea Mitchell was guest hosting Meet the Press over the weekend and said that the Mar-a-Lago investigation had basically wiped the Democrats' historic week from the headlines. And she was rightly jumped on by media critics and others who said, who has the power to do that? Who has the power to say, you know, what's in the headlines? I don't know. Maybe people like you, Andrea, in the media, who instead began with Trump on Meet the Press. Trump was in the middle. Trump was in the end. And then she says, oh, all this Trump stuff really wiped, you know, the Democrats from the headlines, about as complicit as an admission as possible that she, Miss Butter Emails, you know, has a thing about keeping Donald Trump in the headlines. And again, that's not necessarily partisan, but as we talked about last week with Michael Wagner, and with others, it's that there is this insatiable need to have content that attracts eyeballs and, you know, promotes engagement. And this is fine, again, if we're talking about Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott and what they're going to name their baby. But when it comes to national security issues, when it comes to the integrity of our elections, we really should have a higher bar and not just put, you know, Donald Trump on there because, you know, people find that interesting. That's what gave us Donald Trump as a national security risk for all these years, and has led to this culture of feeling like, well, since he's always getting the attention, that he must always be, you know, above the law, and that everything they do must be above the law. And, you know, as Trump and others are finding out, the law does eventually catch up to you in many cases. Sadly, not all, but in many cases. That's what's being learned by South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who learned from a federal judge today that he will, in fact, have to testify into investigations about how he and Trump and others tried to influence, if not, overtly and fraudulently interfere with the 2020 election results in Georgia. You may recall that infamous phone call that Trump made to Georgia's Secretary of State, trying to get him to find, a certain number of votes, and that way Trump would get Georgia's electoral votes. Well, Lindsey Graham had made some phone calls down to Georgia as well. And so he has been asked to testify as part of an investigation into all of this. And Graham had said that he should be exempt from testifying because of, speech protections or debate clause protections or sovereign immunity or his, high ranking government position. And in all cases, a U.S. district judge has now just rejected all of those arguments and found that the district attorney in Georgia has shown extraordinary circumstances exist and that there is a very need for Senator Lindsey Graham to testify on whether there were any attempts to influence or disrupt the lawful administration of Georgia's 2022 election. This all began with a grand jury investigation a couple of months back. That grand jury investigation so far has identified more than 100 people of interest. There has already been testimony given by Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and his staff. And Graham is of interest to the committee, writes the Washington Post, because of phone calls that he made to Raffensperger about Georgia's election system. It's been claimed that he requested that certain absentee ballots be reexamined to explore the possibility of a more favorable outcome. Again, you can't do that. That is as directly trying to influence illegally the administration and outcome of an election as it gets. And, I'm not surprised that Lindsey Graham tried to claim that, he's above all this. He's too powerful. He's, too good for it. Because again, you have that culture that says, whatever we've been able to get away with in the past, we can get away with in the future. It's what leads to somebody like Ron Johnson saying, Mar-a-Lago is a pretty safe place for classified information. It is an entire, belief system that, the old rules don't apply to them. And, as a result, you get essentially a willingness to say things that previously, they kind of kept under a rock where they belonged. Not just that, election rules don't apply to them, but, Ron Johnson's getting nailed with a new ad campaign starting today about his comments about Social Security and Medicare. We mentioned this during the first hour of the program that Democrats are running a new digital ad campaign starting today. We posted about it at Up North News. Go to Up North News WI on Facebook, and you can read the post where, Johnson and other Republicans who have put forth certain plans to tinker with Social Security or to threaten it outright need to answer to that. They need to answer to voters about this. It's no longer the, Democrats were accused for the longest time of scare tactics, saying, Republicans would never do this. Well, Republicans were never going to overturn, Roe v. Wade either. And let's, look how well that worked out. And you have Ron Johnson now saying directly he would like programs like Social Security and Medicare to be counted as discretionary spending and have to stand for a vote pretty much every year. And so it's led a lot of people to want to make sure that we attack some of the misinformation that's out there about Social Security and Medicare, because people like Ron Johnson want it to look more vulnerable than it is, which is not to say it's ironclad. It requires support. It's a promise from the government. But that doesn't mean we have to lie about it. So I looked for a few different sources, and I'm going to take this one in particular that was written by Devin Carroll of Market Watch and go after a few of these myths that are out there so that as you're having these conversations with friends, neighbors in a coffee shop over family dinner or whatnot, and when they talk about, you know, these things, you can say, no, that's not the case. Starting with the number one myth that's raised in this article is about illegal immigrants collecting Social Security, that, you know, Social Security is threatened because, you know, undocumented immigrants are collecting benefits. And if anything, it works the other way around. Social Security is probably more solvent because undocumented immigrants still have payroll deductions quite frequently, which go into Social Security, but they then can't collect the benefits, either because they return to their home country or simply because, again, being undocumented, they can't apply for them. If an individual never obtains work authorization, none of those Social Security covered earnings count toward qualifying for benefits. Those in the words of the Congressional Research Service. Number two is that the government raided the Social Security Trust Fund. That has not been the case. It's a lack of clear explanation about how the trust fund works. And essentially, as your payroll tax deductions go in, it is replaced by treasury notes, treasury bonds rather, and those things are paid back and they do earn interest. When they changed the way that has always existed that way, but when they changed the way that it was reported, some people claimed it was a raid and it is not. The accounting is still solid. The money is still there. It's not going bankrupt. However, that takes us to myth number three, that Social Security is going bankrupt. And people believe that because it is a pay-as-you-go system. The money goes in, the money goes right back out to today's retirees. We know about the generational shift that's out there with more and more baby boomers retiring. And so, yeah, if not enough money is coming in, it is possible that the trust fund will start to run dry. And it could happen as early as 2035. You know, so that's 13 years from now. Once that happens, then benefits can only be paid as tax money comes in. And that could be, you know, 75% of benefits. And so, yeah, if you get only 75% of your promised Social Security benefit, it'd be like getting only 75% of your paycheck. You wouldn't like it, but it's not zero. There's a myth that members of Congress don't pay into Social Security. They do, and they have since 1984. So yeah, for, you know, decades prior, they did not. They paid into a separate pension. Many times what's come out is that, yeah, you get back what you put in and then some because of the interest that's generated. So don't let folks like Ron Johnson and others try to scare you. Social Security is there. It is up to us to protect it for ourselves and for future generations of hardworking Americans. We'll be back with more after this. You're up.